Mark Carr, you're here with For Thomas Matters Radio. We are sponsored by City Barbecue in Highland Heights, Kentucky. They have been voted the best barbecue catering in the area. They are affordable and authentic. I have used them personally probably about 5 or 6 times for different events that I have going on. I've never had a bad experience. Everybody is always complimenting how good and professional and how awesome the food is. So please give them a call. You can call them at 859-940-4259, 859-940-4259, or visit them and see their menus at citybbq.com. That's City Barbecue in Highland Heights, Kentucky, right next to Fort Thomas Jewelers off of Alexandria Pike, 2760 Alexandria Pike. Today we're going to talk about the constitutional races for Election Day, which is tomorrow, by the way, if you've not been paying attention. We're going to talk about the statewide races. I'm going to kind of handicap who I think will probably most likely make it out of each race. I'm going to do a quick rundown of the issues that are first and foremost at the front of each race, kind of what has transpired over the course of the last 8 or 9 months, and really over the last month, since it's gotten pretty serious and a lot of the advertising money has been spent. So just one segment today, but we're going to do it quick and easy and simple so you can get through it and try to go to the voting ballot boxes, stuffing the ballot boxes with informed votes, which is, I think if you read the op-ed by Fort Thomas City Councilman Adam Meyer, it's one thing to vote. It's another thing to have the information behind those votes and making an informed decision. And Northern Kentucky, at the very most, should be getting out to the ballot boxes because it is a direct correlation to how Frankfort views and treats Northern Kentucky from a tax base perspective and getting the attention of Frankfort for the issues that we perceive to be important. There are about 990,000 and some change registered voters in the state of Kentucky. I would think that the voter turnout this time around will be about 30%, which is pretty pathetic if you think about it. That puts about 290 or 270,000 votes and some change of people that will actually get out and vote tomorrow. And then you can go from there and kind of decide how many of those voters actually know what's going on. Kentucky is one of the only states left that you can vote straight ticket, and that happens more times than not when people go into the ballot box. They will simply vote Democratic or Republican straight ticket down the line, which, you know, is not a good way to do it. You can ask Trey Grayson, who was our former Secretary of State. He is now the head of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. He's trying to get that initiative moved off the ballot completely so that it almost forces you to look at those names as opposed to just selecting straight party ticket. So around 270,000 people will be placing votes on their individual ballots this time around. Of those races, the Kentucky governor is probably the most important. It's the one that gets the most airtime. It's the one that's got most of the money being spent on it. You have Democrat Jack Conway, who is our current attorney general, and businessman Matt Bevin out of Louisville on the Republican side. If you talk to internal polls right now, both men are claiming that they are in the lead right now. And most of the polls, if you're looking at the public polls that have been out, have Jack Conway ahead by 3 to 4, up to 5 percentage points. But there's a huge gap of independent voters. There's just a lot of different factors out there that makes it really difficult to kind of call this race. You look at the Republican primary for governor. That race was, you know, between Hal Heiner and Jamie Comer and Matt Bevin and Will Scott. How many times did that race change leads? Ultimately, Matt Bevin and Janine Hampton won it by 83, 84 votes. So I don't necessarily discount the polls, but at the same time, I think, you know, if both sides are kind of claiming internally that they feel good about it, it could go either way. If you had to put a gun to my head and say pick one right now, you would have to almost think that those polls that have come out that do favor Jack Conway do have some credence to it. So if you had to put a gun in my head, I would say that right now it's leaning that direction. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to turnout. Matt Bevin's grassroots effort has probably not been unmatched in the primary and during this election. Jack Conway has taken a different approach than Allison Grimes did against Mitch McConnell. Allison Grimes was probably everywhere that she could be publicly. She had big, elaborate events. It was great. It was great sound bites for the Democratic Party, but at the end of the day, she got demolished by Mitch McConnell. Jack Conway, and I think people were kind of expecting Jack to do that same type of thing, but at the end of the day, he took a different approach. He has been quiet. He's been under the radar. Where Matt Bevin began speaking with anybody that would speak to him, Jack Conway didn't. He was hard to be found. I mean, you look at Twitter and left-leaning media publications such as the Lexington Herald Leader or Courier Journal, Joe Girth and Sam Youngman were tagging Jack Conway's camp and Jack Conway himself on Twitter because they couldn't get responses to interview requests. Now, since then, Matt Bevin has kind of given a cold shoulder to those same publications because he felt that they were treating him unfairly. And if you look at the presidential debate, some of the things that were most talked about from that debate last week was the candidates, how they handled some of the media's questions. They thought that they were gotcha questions, and there was a big response to that. I think people are understandably upset with some of the media's treating of these candidates, and Matt Bevin has been one to say no more. So he has stopped talking to the Courier Journal, the Lexington Herald Leader, two of the biggest publications in the state. And we'll see if that ends up being something that swings the election. You know, the Democrats right now are showing Matt and in a light that makes him look petulant or childlike, but you know, the Republicans at the same token are sort of tired of the left-leaning media and the monopoly that they seem to have. So again, it's going to come out to turnout, and we'll see what ends up happening. Jack has spent more money than Matt. He has more money on hand right now than Matt. Matt has put the majority of his own wealth to fund this campaign from the primary on into the general election. The Republican, National Republican Party had pulled out at one point, and then they got back in when the race seemed to tighten a little bit. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I do think that this race will be more of a toss-up than most people think. Again, I have it a slight tilt to Jack Conway, with the caveat that a lower turnout probably helps Matt Bevin, with most of the independents likely leaning towards Matt Bevin, or Republicans that were a little sour over the primary elections. At the end of the day, if they have given polls the indication that they would not vote for Matt Bevin over Jack Conway, I think they will probably either stay home, or I don't see registered Republicans pulling the lever for Jack Conway. It's no secret that that's been one of the political ticks that they've used and incorporated in their press releases. But at the end of the day, I don't see that happening with great fervor. I can't see it happening. So again, extremely tight race. Slight lean to Jack Conway. The state treasurer's race is one that we on Fort Thomas Matters Radio got a chance to interview Republican candidate Allison Ball. Allison's from Eastern Kentucky, as is her opponent in the race, Rick Nelson from Middlesboro. Rick is a state representative and retired teacher. Allison is an attorney. She's an ex-congressional aide and a GOP activist. She's pretty polished by talking to her. If you look at some of the interviews and speeches at Fancy Farm, hers is probably one of the – she had, I think, probably the most memorable line from anything, really, which she got up on stage and referred to herself as the good Allison. Obviously, Allison Grimes took exception to that and gave her kind of an evil eye, which I thought was probably one of the most memorable parts of Fancy Farm. But you look at political pundits and you can look at Run Switch PR, which is run by Scott Jennings. He's got this one as a not a heavy, but a strong lean to the Republican side on this, which would be Allison Ball. Frankly, the Kentucky State Treasurer is not an office that leans heavy into the partisan side of politics anyway. Allison and Rick both have their political alliances and ideologies, which is exactly what you would expect. But really, it's not really a political partisan position. And there's not been a whole lot of news that have come out of the office in probably close to 100 years. So really, it's kind of one of those things where your party wants a strong candidate, and they both have one. They both fielded strong candidates. But at the end of the day, I think this is probably going to go to the Republican side. And Allison Ball, who has not been held elected office before, will probably get her first go around on this one. The Kentucky State Auditor race is going to be between Democrat Adam Edlin and Representative on the Republican side, Mike Harmon. If you ask Democrats publicly whether they are fully behind Jack Conway, of course they'll tell you yes. You ask them privately, if right now, if they had the choice of removing Jack Conway and inserting Adam Edlin in this race a year ago, whenever the nominations were cast, privately, I can guarantee you that most of them are going to say that they had wished that Adam Edlin was on the ticket facing off against Matt Bevin right now. Simply put, Jack Conway and Matt Bevin have not really done much to gin up a lot of excitement on either side right now. They're kind of holding their noses. Their respective sides are holding their noses to have to vote for Jack or for the Republican ticket. And Adam Edlin has been really strong over the last period of time where he's been the Kentucky State Auditor. And I think really the Democrats have a strong candidate here if Matt Bevin wins this time around as a Democratic governor candidate in 2019, or they could have another good person on the ballot to run against Senator Rand Paul next year in 2016. They're counting on around $700,000 that they've spent over the last 2 weeks on TV revenues. Mike Harmon, while is a good candidate, has not been well funded, and I think it was one of those things where he's almost a sacrificial lamb. Nobody was going to beat Adam Edlin in this race, so you can look at a heavy lean to the Democrats on this position. Same for the Secretary of State, where it does feature a Northern Kentuckian in Stephen Nipper versus incumbent Allison Lundgren Grimes. If Steve Nipper pulls off the upset, which if he did would be the largest upset of all the races, the congressional race or the constitutional races this year, he can thank Mitch McConnell for damaging her image so badly in the Senate race last year. But that's not going to happen. Allison is going to win. The real drama here will be what happens the next go-around, what happens in the next, you know, elections where some of these candidates are up for re-election again. Where do they jockey for position? Obviously, Allison is seasoned at this point. She's proven to be a good draw and a good speaker. So obviously Secretary of State, she's kind of outgrown it by this point. So we'll see what happens. Adam Edelin, again, is up and coming. And of course, Jack Conway has, as far as Kentucky goes, if he does indeed win, he's kind of blocked that position for the next at least 4 years. So that'll be the most interesting component, I think, of her race. Again, Stephen Nipper he's an ex-Erlanger city councilman, and he's a healthcare project manager. Just tough to beat probably the Democrats' most sure race that they should secure on Tuesday. And while the Secretary of State is a heavy lean Democrat, the Agriculture Commissioner is a heavy lean Republican. That features State Rep Ryan Quarles and Jean Marie Lawson Spann. Kentucky has voted this position, Agricultural Commissioner Republican, the last 3 years, the last three terms. This will likely be the fourth, with Ryan Quarles running a really good campaign against Lawson Spann. There are two central themes that they have disagreed on, but before we talk about that quickly, this campaign from a journalism perspective has been really fun to follow, because it's been pretty contentious at times. The two central themes throughout the course of this are, and the ones that they disagree with each other the most on, are medical marijuana and labeling of genetically modified foods. Spann said she supports allowing physicians to prescribe marijuana for medical purposes. Quarles said that medical professionals should determine the benefits of marijuana, and it should go through all the processes like any other drug. And while I agree that the experts should be the one deciding how marijuana is viewed in terms of the state legislature and whether it's legal or regulated for medical use, I wish that their positions, especially on the Republican side here, were a little bit more defined. It drives me absolutely crazy when our state constitutional offices will put the onus on the feds, or our state representatives will put the onus on the local elected officials. Just say what you believe, and if the majority of Republicans or Democrats or voters in general agree with you, then that's what your position should be. So, but again, I don't think that this race has much to it. Quarles' campaign has done really well, and really the Lawson campaign has kind of been weird at times, quite frankly. At Fancy Farm, she had said that people who go to school aren't qualified to be agriculture leaders, which was obviously like a shot at Quarles, but at the same time, qualified agricultural leaders who go to University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, which I had many friends that did, they just, well, I don't know what the deal was with that statement was, but it wasn't a good one, and it's kind of spiraled downhill for her since that statement. Finally, the Attorney General race, which is between Republican Whitney Westerfield and Democrat Andy Beshear, who is the son of Governor Steve Beshear, is one that I have a slight lean to Andy Beshear, which is surprising given the fact that Andy Beshear has done really, really well advertising, fundraising. He obviously has the name recognition from a governor that has widely been regarded as one that is very well liked in the state of Kentucky, and Steve Beshear. And with those three things in mind, you would think that this is going to be a runaway for the Democrats here. But it's just not. I think it is a lean to the Democrat side and to Andy Beshear. But for all those things that Andy has going for him, Whitney has been able to kind of keep close. And it's a lot closer than you would probably think. And internally, I think probably both have the polls leaning towards Andy Beshear. But it'll depend on, again, on turnout. And if that Republican wave, which has been trending in that direction for at least the last 4 years, the last election cycle, if those things all convalesce in one fell swoop and Matt Bevin gets a big turnout, that's going to help Whitney Westerfield. And really, it's a shame that there wasn't more debates between the two, because if you watched the debate on KET between Westerfield and Beshear, it was probably one of the most interesting of the cycle. And some of the negative ads that came out of the Democratic camp on this one, which painted Whitney Westerfield as lazy, slobbish, were really in bad taste. And you know, people run those things, those negative ads, because they work. But it's a shame that they do work. I wish that they wouldn't. I wish they'd rely on substance as opposed to these negative ads. But it hasn't been fair to Whitney to paint him that way, because he's been instrumental in a lot of initiatives over the course of the state since he's been a state senator, working alongside with Senator Will Schroeder and Senator Chris McDaniel on the heroin legislation that was crafted last year. He was one of the forefronts on the forefront of that issue. So again, here's where I think we're going to land. I think the Commissioner of Agriculture is a strong lean to Ryan Quarles over Democrat Jean Marie Lawson Spam. I think the state treasurer is a heavy lean to Republican Allison Ball over Rick Nelson. I think the governor race is a toss-up. I think it might be a 51-49, 52-48, 53-47 event. And I do have that favoring Jack Conway right now. But again, the biggest thing, more so on any race, is going to be turnout right there. Attorney General, I've got a slight lean of to Andy Beshear over Republican Whitney Westerfield. On the auditor, which is between Republican Mike Harmon and incumbent Adam Edlin, I've got a heavy lean to Democrat Adam Edlin on that race, and then a heavy lean of Allison Lundergan Grimes over Republican Stephen Nipper on the Secretary of State. So overall, I do see the Democrats getting at the very least three seats of the six. I see Republicans getting two seats of the six. And I see the governor race as a toss-up right now, with a slight lean to Jack Conway. So take those for what it's worth. And again, if you read some of the op-eds on Fort Thomas Matters, fortthomasmatters.com right now, the main thing is that you do vote, because more than anything, that will send a message to Frankfort on our voter turnout that we are a region that votes, and because we are a region that votes, we shall not be ignored. So whatever you do, vote tomorrow, November 3rd. Polls open at 6 a.m. As long as you're in line by 6 p.m., you can vote. If you need to find out where you vote, you can do that at the Secretary of State's website, or by calling somebody in the Campbell County Clerk, Jim Lurson's office. He'd be happy to help you with that. So again, vote. Fort Thomas Matters Radio is brought to you by Omega Processing Solutions. Did you know that Fort Thomas is home to one of the nation's top-rated merchant processing companies? It's Omega Processing Solutions, and we are so proud to partner with them at Fort Thomas Matters Radio in bringing you this series of podcasts. We've had around 40,000 downloads since they have become our sponsor along with City Barbecue. You should let them help you with, if you're a small business owner, with credit and debit card processing, mobile payments, gift cards, rewards programs, or just to have your business funded. They have a group of fully integrated POS systems and e-commerce solutions as well that they can help tailor for your business or your organization. If you're not sure that you want to change from your current processor, there's no pressure. I've worked with them on this. They have no contracts and you can cancel at any time. Give them a call at 442-8100. That's 442-8100, or visit them at omegap.com for more information. You can also check them out on Facebook or Twitter. They're really, really good about getting back with you and interacting with their fans and their customers on their social media sites as well. So again, vote tomorrow. This is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.